This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Each year or total?
No, total. For 4 years.
No way.
Yeah, and that's essentially what the reaction was. And I thought it was obvious.
What was obvious?
I thought it was obvious that they would make less money. I'm sorry, Sara. I'm so sorry.
We literally cannot recreate that cover.
Welcome back, guys, to The Cousin.
I don't even want to do this anymore.
I'm sorry. Connection. Sara, come on.
Podcast.
No, we're going to start this again. Okay. Welcome back, guys, to The Cousin.
Connection. Podcast.
I could try and keep that.
Please. Does it not have audio?
What? It does have audio, but it's not going to sound as great.
That's okay, guys. Excuse us.
No. We can't do that to them. Should we?
They'll understand.
Will they understand?
That was such a great conversation.
By the way, if I do start it from here, it's mainly because I might have forgotten to hit the record button on the audio before we started. You know what? This is a 50-50 thing. I feel like Sara could remind me because we
were looking at it. We were literally testing our volume.
We were both, you know, testing this out. Okay. She did mention, even in the part that, you know, before record, she did say she's a producer.
Yeah, for the the video content.
I don't know. You know, maybe I'll keep the audio.
Please.
Okay, I'll keep it.
Yeah. You know what? It's gonna be a busy week coming up for us. There's a lot going on. As we teased last week, this week we are gonna be leaving the country, and a lot has been leading up to that. So, you know, it's been pretty busy up to now.
And for smiling extra big, it's because we cannot wait to be on vacation, to be completely honest with
you. I'm honestly, like, I'm not, like, super excited. Like, I'm excited, but, like, there's been so much else going on. I'm excited.
No, you're not.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
You're not excited.
You know what? That is a big part of it. Okay?
I know it is.
Just
I know
knowing,
you.
Just knowing how much our banks are going to be suffering, our pockets are going to be suffering this summer. From all the things going on.
Don't remind me, okay?
I know, right?
At least, never mind.
This is what I've been saving for, okay?
I'm just not going
to say
it.
A summer like this where everybody just wants to get married somehow for some reason. I don't know, man. But yeah, so what?
Nothing. It was an inside joke between me.
I see. But yeah, so that's not been exciting. And honestly, I was talking to someone about this. I was like, I miss the days where I used to have that like innocent childhood excitement. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Like where you used to get excited for something that you're anticipating like coming out. For me, it was like usually like
when coming I
was like,
out.
What
are you talking about?
Okay, no Diddy.
No, I know, but like, what are you talking about?
Like when you're a kid and you're like waiting for a game to come out.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The simple things in life. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like back in the day when you'd be like, oh, a movie's coming out, like when the first Marvel movies were coming out as a kid. Like, that excitement, I haven't felt that in so long because, like, now there's so much more responsibility around those things.
Listen.
What?
Let's have a little pep talk, okay?
What?
Don't let the value Why are you laughing?
Go. Okay, okay, go.
Don't let the mm-hmm. money that you spent
yeah.
in exchange for your happiness, whether it's a vacation, whatever.
It's not only that, though. That's like a part of it.
And then the planning that goes into it is
stressful. But it's not only that. It's I'm telling you, it's the innocent nature of those things. It's the fact that there's literally nothing else going on in our lives mm-hmm. to the point where the one thing, literally just a video game or a movie coming out, is all you could think about, all you could get excited for. Like you're literally counting down the days for this to come out. What?
You don't feel that?
I feel it, but like there's so much else going on in life, like things that are happening before and after it, mm-hmm. that like get in the way of you feeling that pure excitement for it.
I think you have to adjust your mentality about it.
Sure, like, yeah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's like...
No, I'm giving you unsolicited advice. Like, adjust your mentality to say, mm-hmm. okay, the next couple of months of my life are mm-hmm. going to be extremely busy, very eventful, exciting, filled with happy times, inshallah. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to brace myself for all that's to come.
I wish I could think that way, Sada. But you know what? I'm not as strong as you, okay?
Yeah, you are. You can do it.
But I think it's also the fact that, like, those things were very, not selfish, but, like, there are things that you as an individual are looking for. It's not, like, anything that really affects anyone around you. It doesn't include anyone else. This is just something for you. And I haven't had something like that that's, like, literally just for me. You know, I'm being selfish right now, okay? Can I be selfish for a second?
But you're allowed to... Like, your feelings around mm-hmm. something that's coming up mm-hmm. are your feelings. No one can take that away from you.
Yeah, but I think it's just the fact... Also, it might be my people-pleasing aspect coming out, or personality coming out, where, like, you want to make sure that it goes perfect for everyone else involved. Honestly, for real, like that.
Trust me, as a recovering people-pleaser, like, you...
Oh, wait.
I feel like the conversation
is sound like trash. I'm gonna use some AI to like figure it out and hopefully make it sound better.
Inshallah.
So, you know, production on this afterwards is gonna be crazy, but I'll try and make it work, okay?
You guys, you'll know if he kept in the first, what was it, like 5 minutes?
Yeah.
It was actually a really good conversation. We were having a real heart to heart here on camera.
I just hope, because also our mic is covered, so I don't even know if that will work. But essentially what I was talking about, you know, I might may or may not keep it. What mm-hmm. I was talking about was like how I lost that inner like pure excitement for something as a child, like they used to have as a child, like back in the day. I think I'm coming from a guy's perspective, like when the new game would come out or whenever you see a new trailer for something and it's like maybe 2 months away mm-hmm. for that 2 months, whether it be a game or a movie, mm-hmm. you're just like counting down the days. Every day that you get closer to it, you get even more and more excited until it finally like reaches that day and you're able to actually like experience whether it's the game or the movie. And like recently, because of all the things going on in our lives, like it's hard to feel that pure excitement, like unadulterated, like just there's nothing else in the, when you're a child, there's nothing else going on in your life between you and that thing coming out or happening. Mm-hmm. So you have the privilege of like just focusing on the pure excitement for that thing.
I understand where mm-hmm. you're coming from, because I would be lying if I was like, yeah, I'm so excited and I have no other thought in my mind.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that's what I'm kind of being nostalgic for, right? I'm not saying it's completely right, but just that idea that like there's no other variables that you're thinking about when it comes to that thing. So I think that's what I was trying to get at. Why were we talking about? Oh, yeah, because we're going to Australia.
I guess we just told them now. What? Did we say it before? I don't think we told them.
Oh, did we not?
Maybe
I
not.
I might buy a beep it out. We'll see.
We're going to Australia, yeah, mate. How did we say it? And that was not a good Australian accent.
That was an amazing Australian accent. I don't know what you're talking about.
Simon. I know that all of them that are
honestly
watching are going to be like,
I thought I got a new host for a second and that she came from Australia.
Okay. The only thing I know how to say is, oh no, Cleo.
What?
The condensation.
What is that from?
What?
Speaking of condensation, my face is still
Amir,
boiling here.
It's not.
It's that. I know it's not that hot. Okay,
just crack the window open.
What? No, it's literally worse out there. There's so much humidity at the moment.
You know what? Our next investment for this pod is going to be a silent fan.
Yeah.
I swear to you guys.
Both for me and for the camera, because
we have three lights. Yeah. Two of them are actually facing the ceiling, so it's our ring light that is just like exuding heat. Mm-hmm.
But it's an LED light. Do LED lights even like give out heat? I don't think so.
I don't really know much about.
Yeah, it actually on the back of it, it does have a fan, so it must give away some type of heat.
Does it actually? That's really cool. Where'd you
find
that?
Because it gets hot. Mm-hmm. Where you find everything these days, Sarah?
Amazon.
Oh, but man. Yeah, we were talking about that, mm-hmm. And the pure excitement that I wish I could have for it. But when you see how much everything is costing, you know, we haven't even broke. Honestly, when it comes to traveling, there's a threshold to where you just stop looking at what you're spending. Like, you don't even look at your.
That only starts for me. Mm-hmm. That starts once I'm in the destination. But I will say the pre-travel prep is so much more expensive than the trip itself.
Yeah, it is.
It hurts my heart.
Yeah, we're going to be, you know, getting a lot of guest passes, hopefully, from people where they, you know, it's like, oh, you're a guest. And, you know, when they offer, it's like, I'm not even going to fight it. I'm going to be like, yeah, I am your guest. Am I not? Okay.
No, I'll give it to the Aussies. They're very generous. Not that we expect anything from you guys. Okay,
I expect a lot. What are you talking about?
Stop it.
I'm playing. Okay. I'm not.
They're going to watch this.
And they'll understand.
Okay. This episode is going to come out the day that we fly out, inshallah.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Hopefully I get it anyway then with all that stuff going on.
I'll get it done.
Okay, I'll get it done. We're also filming this a little bit later in the afternoon too. So.
Yeah, between like trying to pack while working full time and doing everything else that we've been doing this weekend.
Yeah.
Feel like I'm losing my mind. Me mind, actually.
Just think of all the points you're going to be getting from this.
Points for what?
Like from paying all the stuff, that we're preparing, right? And also just think about, you know, does Australia have like nice beaches?
They do, but it's fall. But it's, you know what? We're still going.
That's the thing, man. We're going to Australia like when it's getting colder
I
as well.
I wish you experienced it the way that I experienced it for the first time because it was just like.
Why are you trying to make it sound like
no, we're I'm still not gonna get go the to full the, experience? No, now. You what are. You are. We're still going to go to the beach.
Yeah.
Even if it's freezing, we'll just take blankets or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, imagine it's like 30 degrees with a nice cool breeze from the ocean. And you're just on like soft sands with no bugs, no crabs. It's just smooth.
Yeah.
And you just like chill and the breeze just like hits you. And you just hear like the
I wish we could get a moment like that.
I think we will because they have so many beaches and the area that we're staying in has a beach that's close by. That's very nice. I remember going there like our first day. So we'll do it again.
Inshallah. Yeah. We got to make it there first. Okay.
Inshallah.
We got to make sure our stuff makes it there first too. I'm just saying.
Listen, I just.
And New Zealand. Okay. First off, we're literally just transiting through you guys. Why do we need a visa? What is this?
Yeah, that part doesn't make sense.
This is extortion, okay? Just because no one wants to come to your little... I'm sorry.
I want to go to New Zealand.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that, okay? I love Lord of the Rings, okay? I would love to go to New Zealand and see the Shire and all those places. And not the Shire, sorry. Yeah, maybe the Shire and Hobbiton. I don't know what they called it, that place. I'm a nerd. I just forgot the names right now.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know the Hobbits, right?
I think so.
Remember the little houses? That they had in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, those actually are, like, they actually built them in New Zealand, and they're still there.
Oh, that was shot in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Oh.
All of them were shot in New Zealand.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know.
Now I know.
Exactly. And they actually have tours, like, for it.
I'm
pretty sure it's, like, a big part of their tourism budget.
You should have seen yesterday we were hanging out.
What?
Remember what I said? And Amir looks at me, he's like, don't say that.
What did I say?
When I was like, oh, I hope we like miss our flight to.
Oh, yeah. Like, who says that?
I want to explore New Zealand.
Who says, I wish we could miss our flight?
So that our layover is longer.
What?
So that our, not our flight to New Zealand, our flight from New Zealand to Melbourne, like that flight. It's only 2 hours, and I'm sure they have multiple during the day. So, like.
Don't like play into it now.
Yeah, okay. No, inshallah we miss
literally
it. We get there
cannot
safely.
Miss it.
I know.
Because of what's happening the next day.
I know. I know. And guess what, guys?
What?
Should we tell them? We're going to be vlogging. Travel vlogs are back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got a camera now.
A really cool one mm-hmm. that we've been eyeing.
Yeah.
And I think our content is going to be so much cooler. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to like map out. I'm so excited. Like, I feel like my creativity is coming back.
Yeah, honestly, I hope that now that we've practiced with yeah. our trip last year. Was yeah. that last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, with our trip last year. You know, we've gotten the bugs out of it. We kind of figure out what works, what doesn't work. We figure out what we should be doing, like actually talking to the camera.
Yeah.
But I was surprised. I was surprised because we watched the vlog yesterday.
We did pretty good.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't remember doing this. Okay. I know I'm like talking myself up here. Right? I don't remember. Like we were watching. I'm like, I don't remember the vlog being this good.
It was good. I watched it.
I'm specifically talking about the first vlog from Sweden. When you landed in Sweden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that one, I was like, okay, you know, whoever edited this, amazing job.
And you put in an Easter egg in one of the clips and I was like, we should make this a thing.
Yeah. Like people, I don't think anyone caught on to the Easter eggs. I'm not going to mention it here, but you know, there's a couple things I put in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, oh, you know what? This is actually pretty entertaining.
It was. I thought it was hilarious. And there were many moments, mm-hmm. like when we did the chocolate taste test.
Yeah.
And we both, like, it was so random, but we decided to film it. And then we had the exact same reaction.
Mm-hmm. We both just stared at each other at the exact same moment.
Do we like this?
There's a lot of good moments. There's the salmon sandwich moment, the bombastic side-eye moment.
The Assassin's Creed.
If you haven't watched already, go and watch our first Sweden vlog. And then watch the other one.
Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I might have not put out the other ones because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there were a few mistakes we made when it came to the vlog. And it wasn't up to the quality I was expecting. So I was like, I'm going to save you guys your time because your time is valuable to us. And we're just going to learn from this and move forward. Okay.
But I think we're both excited to vlog. It'll be different content. We're probably going to do an episode there, maybe, potentially.
Yeah. I was already expecting, thinking of different aspects, not aspects, like different formats of how we could do it.
Yeah.
Like whether we do it like in the car, because we're going to be busy, right? So like you can do, because we have this whole thing set up, if we remember to actually start hitting record, we have that and it's more portable and it has batteries so we can take it wherever you want. Think about
doing
it.
On the beach.
Beach podcast. Who's done a beach podcast before?
Nobody.
Exactly. Who's done? Actually, I have kind of. Maybe I've seen it. But a podcast when you're driving from one destination to another.
Is that safe?
What?
Is that safe?
I'm sure it's safe.
Because, like, you're also driving on the other side of the road. Guys, I am so scared for Amir. You have no idea. I'm nervous because he's insisting on renting the car as soon as we land.
Yeah, I'll be fine. But Don't worry about it.
They drive, like, the steering wheel's on the other side.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's like after you work out when I play video games, like, you know, there's maybe the tutorial stage, you know, and that for us is getting out of the parking lot.
No. I'm not getting in your car.
You know, level one is like the highway.
did you not learn from your dad's experience?
Okay, my dad's a different thing. He says he's a good driver, but after hearing what he did in Australia,
that's crazy.
My man's was hitting cars, parked cars with a side mirror.
When he said that, I was like, "We're not driving there." I'm sorry.
You know what?
I'm very confident in yours and my driving mm-hmm. skills here.
I have a pretty good sense of personal space and, like, you know, what do they call that again? Like the range of most vehicles. As long as we get something that, I have very good spatial awareness. I feel you.
Okay.
You know? So inshallah, we'll be fine, Zara. Don't worry about it. Okay?
Best believe that's going to be in the vlog. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if anything goes wrong, entertainment for y'all.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Let's get to actually what we're supposed to be talking about. Okay?
Yeah. I intro it or should you?
You know what? I felt like after one thing I also want to mention, last week, I didn't realize how much I talked because I was pulling up the audio, because now with this recording device we have, we can see individual audio, including mine and Sara's. So you could see mine is like a bunch of like levels of me talking. Sara's is like blip, blip. And then it has like a little bit, then another blip, blip. It's like, damn, did I talk that much? You should have told me to shut up at some point.
No, okay. I was listening to what you had to say.
Huh? Yeah, but I didn't realize how much I was saying.
That's okay.
But you know what? I'll let you take it away today, Sarah.
We welcome that here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, last week we were in the last couple of months since we've started this podcast, really, we've highlighted, we like to highlight different, I don't like to use the word conflict, but things that are happening around the world, tragedies that are happening around the world, good things that are happening around the world. And we focus on different areas. Obviously, one that has been predominantly highlighted on our channel is Palestine. Mm-hmm. And what's been happening to the Palestinians. That being said, we've gotten a couple of comments where Amir addressed it last week about why we haven't really spent too much time speaking up on what has been happening in Sudan. And some of you guys have left us comments on our last video, which honestly, I really appreciated the honesty and the feedback. And mm-hmm. I think we both took some time to reflect on it. And
yeah, and I want to make sure to clarify, I wasn't... Mm-hmm. In my response to like why we focus on Palestine so much, I want to dismiss what was happening in yep. Sudan, right?
Yeah.
I definitely feel like it's important to speak about what's happening there as well.
Yeah. And so we wanted to clarify, like we, the Sudanese brothers and sisters are literally our neighbors, like mm-hmm. right next to Ethiopia. And so, and even if they weren't, what they've been going through is actually a very severe crisis, humanitarian mm-hmm. crisis. And so we wanted to spend some time in this episode to really just highlight what's been going mm-hmm. on, you know, to do better and to learn from our, I don't want to call it a mistake, but just mm-hmm. just to grow. Like the whole objective of this podcast is we don't claim to be
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
On anything yeah. and we're totally open to having discussions and hearing feedback from you guys and learning, and you know, our minds can be changed very easily, so mm-hmm. not easily, but you know what I'm trying to say is we're trying to do better here. So we wanted to kind of just discuss what's been going on in Sudan. Mm-hmm. Basically, to give you like a high level summary, I have my notes here because we did our research. I don't want to misspeak, but what's been happening is in April of 2023, so last year, basically a whole year ago. Mm-hmm.
And this might be actually a rehash because we did speak about Sudan at one point.
We did, yeah.
And give like a quick overview.
Yeah.
Of course, at that point, I didn't have all the facts, or like I even think I got a couple facts wrong. I didn't know a couple of names, but hopefully this should clarify a lot of that.
Okay. So in April of 2023, there was a war between the Sudanese Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces. So that kind of started off, and at first started off as an isolated attack on each other, on both groups. And to kind of give you like a rundown of who's who, the Sudanese Armed Forces is the government. Mm-hmm. And then the Rapid Support Forces, they were actually formed, I didn't know this, but they were formed in Darfur and they were used by the government to put down a rebellion. Mm-hmm. However, they were like the Rapid Support Forces were accused of committing genocide and other war crimes in Darfur. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily the good guys here. And so in recent times, they the RSF wanted to be integrated into the Sudanese Armed Forces, but the Sudanese Armed Forces didn't want no parts in it. And so from there, that's when the war broke out. Now, it started off as an isolated war between the two military groups, but then it kind of just escalated really quickly, and now it's turning into like a full-scale civil war within Sudan, because it started off in Khartoum and then kind of started to like spread to other regions of Sudan. Mm-hmm. So why are people calling it a humanitarian crisis if it's just two military groups that are fighting each other? It's because it's actually causing like millions of Sudanese people to be displaced from their homes. Mm-hmm. And the RSF essentially is trying to break the morale of the Sudanese men to try and force their way and to gain control over Sudan. And so by doing that, they are raping women. Children are just like severely malnourished and basically facing starvation, not just children, all of them, actually. Mm-hmm. They're not going to school. They're sleeping outside because they're no longer in their homes. There are attacks happening daily. And because the RSF took control over the government buildings and the Khartoum International Airport, they're not able to like leave and flee the country because they have control over the airport. Mm-hmm. And out of fear of being killed or attacked or jailed, the Sudanese people are not able to like post what's been going on the same way that, you know, Palestinians were able to do it. And we were all in the know because it was all online. Whereas with the Sudanese people, because they can't post it, they're relying on all of us really in the West to mm-hmm. speak up on their behalf. And so I can totally see why people were like, hold on, why aren't you guys talking about it? I get it now. And I totally understand. And you know what? That's our bad. And I believe I responded to a couple of the comments to say that. But when I started doing my research, I was like, oh, my God, this is actually like pretty bad.
I think that's also one of the big, not differences, but like the reason why mm-hmm. one is getting so much more limelight than the other.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of reasons. But yeah. another big reason is because like we don't have those spokespersons on the ground yeah. that people can kind of look up to.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to what's happening in Palestine, you have Mu'taz at one point and Ibisan you had at one point. You also had that other girl, I forget, she's in Australia now.
Palestia.
Yeah, Palestia. And then of course there's multiple reporters and journalists, also even that little girl.
I forgot her name.
And June, I forget her name specifically, but like you don't have those people that you're getting direct like information from.
Yeah, there was,
or at least
it's situation.
Not as visible to us.
Yeah.
And also you're not getting those personal stories, like the soul of my soul story, like that one was huge at one point, right? That opened a lot of people's eyes to the situation. So having those things that like personalize the conflict
mm-hmm.
really help with also garnering more like support from around the world,
which is sad that you even have to
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say manipulate the story, but like manipulate the feelings of people by forcing that mm-hmm. human connection. Like you have to give a story of like, oh, you know, my child.
It's a reality situation. Right?
I know, mm-hmm. I know. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
you do have to like pull you try and pull on the whole heartstrings of the people who are already focusing on so many other things. Like they're in their mind, subconsciously, they're like, why should I focus on this, or why should I give any attention to this?
Yeah.
At least the people who are less informed about what's going on geopolitically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so, you know, I've actually noticed that it's mostly like Sudanese influencers or mm-hmm. just Sudanese people in general that are in the West that have been speaking out about it.
Yeah.
In comparison to Palestine, where it was like, you know, everybody was speaking up about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's fair to say like, well, one's a humanitarian crisis and the other one isn't. They both are, to be completely honest with you. And I think the point that you were trying to make last week of like why we focused on Palestine more than Sudan is mm-hmm. because people were literally being threatened and still are being threatened to not speak up about it, to call for a ceasefire, to call for a free Palestine mm-hmm. Because of like their jobs are in jeopardy, their livelihood is in jeopardy, like their friggin' safety is in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Sudan, like you could speak up about it with like, I'm assuming almost no repercussions.
Repercussions. Yeah, I was looking for repercussions. But
you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And just to give an update on that, like from what we spoke about last week mm-hmm. when it came to the students standing up at their universities and creating the encampments, like we've seen that because of that suppression, now it's actually almost had like the Streisand effect. Do you know what the story is? It's like where you try and suppress something and it only becomes bigger.
I
don't know if it works in this context, but it sort of does. But essentially now like encampments have like popped up all over the country, or at least all over America. And even in some places in Canada now, there are talks of that happening as well. So That's like kind of an update when it comes to that situation. But in regards to Sudan specifically, yeah, like that was also a big aspect. The fact that like people naturally, when they feel like they're being told not to do something, when they feel like they're in the moral right to speak out about something and they're actively being suppressed for it, they're going to want to even do it more.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. And I think like to kind of I guess close off on that topic, unless you have more to add, I was just gonna say
go ahead.
You know, the same way that we've been doing with Palestine, I'll try to find some reputable charities that are that are collecting donations for aid and like food and resources for the Sudanese and the Palestinian mm-hmm. people. And I'll have it linked in our description box on YouTube. And then in the audio, it'll be in the description as well for you guys mm-hmm. to access as well.
Yeah. But didn't it start? There's one aspect of the story that I thought.
Did I miss something?
I had right before. But didn't it start with a coup? Because I think before, like, essentially what happened was that the original government or, like, the president or prime minister or something was kicked out of office. And then the military took, like, interim power, essentially. Like, they were like, okay, like, until we can vote someone in, we're going to, like, take power here.
The Sudanese armed forces did that?
Yeah, I need to do more research. But I'm pretty sure, like, that's why there's also a lot of conflict between the two groups, because they're vying for like power, essentially. Everything comes down to power.
Yeah.
I think another aspect of this is that like also you have the UAE who is directly funding like one of the groups of this conflict.
Yeah.
And you have like Russia like funding the other side. So the fact that there's like a quote unquote Muslim country mm-hmm. that's supporting one side of this is sad. But that's like kind of what we've been seeing, especially with what the Saudi government was doing to Yemen. Like, there's a lot of these, like, what we are supposed to be considering Muslim countries that are backing conflicts and wars that are affecting other Muslim people.
Yeah, I kind of lost faith in, like, the Muslim
Because at the end of the day, it comes down to power.
Yeah.
Like, before even money, it always comes down to power.
Yeah.
Because if it was about money, then Saudi would have no reason to start involving themselves in all these things.
I agree.
Because they already own, like, they make so much in the trillions of dollars of oil that they sell every year.
I know. And it just, like, more than money, it's the power and the influence, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're able to maintain that power and influence, and other countries will follow suit with whatever mm-hmm. you say, or it's kind of like a give and take, right? Like, you scratch your back, I'll scratch yours.
Do you think it's like a double-edged sword, though? Because, or not? I don't know if that's the right term as well to use there. I think it is kind of a double-edged sword, because essentially it's, if they don't go for the power, then they'll be overrun by the Western governments. But if they do go for the power, I mean, if they do go for the power, then it requires them to do things that are unethical and essentially bring them down to the levels of the Western governments that we currently are chastising or criticizing. So you're kind of like, what are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
I'm always trying to be the caveat guy. You know,
I know
what?
You are.
I know. I have to always, me as a person, I just always have that thing like, why? Because I don't think anyone is, there are some, but I don't think a majority of people are like mm-hmm. inherently evil. They just have, essentially, like, I think that the people in the maybe Saudi government or the UAE, like, they believe they're doing things for the greater good of their people.
I don't think they care that much about their people.
What?
I don't think they care that much about their people.
I don't think like they think they're doing, okay, maybe they're not.
They might disguise it as that, mm-hmm. but I don't think they care that much.
So, but because I'm assuming that what the religion they believe in, like, they actually do believe in those things, because then we are also implying that they don't believe in those things. But
No, because two things can be true. You can still believe
in those religious beliefs, and
no, you can still be a Muslim, because mm-hmm. remember, we've said this before, the religion is perfect, mm-hmm. Muslims are not, right?
Yeah.
And someone can still be a Muslim and have corrupt values or mm-hmm. have corrupt view, especially when they come into you know, a lot of power and mm-hmm. a lot of wealth where they can literally do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they might disguise it as like, you know, we're doing this for the greater good of our people, like similar to when we said about Jordan mm-hmm. and Egypt, that we're trying to block the missiles from Iran. I think at the end of the day, they're just trying to appease to who currently has the most power, mm-hmm. which that doesn't even make sense to me, but I'm going to save my opinion. But, you know, if they're trying to appease to the mm-hmm. one country that does have the most power, or they fear the backlash that could potentially come to them, mm-hmm. then, you know, are they even really powerful then? Like, I wouldn't consider Jordan or Egypt powerful. They're just appeasing to Israel right now.
Well, yeah, because they know what would happen. Well, not, well, to the Western governments in general, right?
But they're don't you think them. If all of the Middle East banded together, with the exception of but if all of the Middle East banded together, that's I feel like they would be so much stronger than the West.
That would be in like a perfect world. But yeah. a lot of these people have, like, even we know in Islam, there are so many different sects in Islam that have so many, like, look at what happened in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Lebanon, I was literally speaking to someone recently about Lebanon, and there are so many factions within mm-hmm. Lebanon mm-hmm. that there are certain streets that you as a Sunni Muslim can't go down.
What?
There are certain streets you as a Sunni Muslim who, like, maybe is at part of like Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or like is part of a different sect within that sect, can't go down. Or you might be part of a rebel group. Mm. There's certain streets you can't go down. Like, there are, even within our people, because people are still people, they're gonna not shoot pick teams, but they're gonna have like their allegiances to certain groups that they feel like they're connected to. And yeah, like that's also an issue. So you're like, that's just in one small area.
Yeah.
Now expand that to the rest of the Arab world, or the Muslim world in general, right?
Right.
Like, the idea of them all coming together, you know, I inshallah, maybe it does happen one day, and I hope it does, to where they can all come to some agreements, but it's very far-fetched. It's like very idealistic. So
maybe I'm just an idealist.
Huh?
Maybe I'm just an idealist. But like, I'm just trying to understand, like, mm-hmm. maybe the
but it goes back to that thing you said. Sorry, yeah. I cut you off there.
No.
My bad. Is the thing you said, like, where like Islam is perfect but Muslims aren't, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like,
I mean, I'm right.
So the situation globally, mm-hmm. like geopolitics wise, it's very gray.
Yeah.
And we do have the things that we are pushing for and hope that happen, especially when it comes to what's happening in Sudan. We hope that the people at least are left out of the situation. You know, whatever those rebel groups do, not rebel groups, but those groups do to each other, the military groups do each other.
Yeah.
Like, if we can leave the people out of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's also ideal. But,
and if we have anyone that's like mm-hmm. listening to this and you are Sudanese, or you have, you know, family members that are directly impacted by this, like, you let us know, like, what can we do to further support? Like, I know we can donate, but like, what else is there to do? Like, let us know. And I'm not asking that in like a, what can we do? I just mean, like, you know, let us know in the comments, or DM us even. We can have an honest conversation. I'm totally open to that. And mm-hmm. Amir, I'm sure, is too. I'm just like volunteering us for this. But
yeah, I think we're doing our part in informing the people. But it always comes down to just donating and making sure that the people who are being affected by this are at least getting some type of housing and getting some type of like food and being able to at least have some semblance of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like any issue going on in the world, like the minimum, as long as we can provide like the minimum necessities to life.
Why are you? I don't know.
Guys, I might be cutting away from this throughout the podcast, but Sara has yawned at least like 10 times in the last 5 minutes.
It's like 5 times. I don't know. I'm not even tired. I have the energy. It's warm in here.
Boring you like that?
No, it's I'm just, sorry. It's no, warm. It's okay. You're not boring me.
It's okay if I bore you.
You're not.
You can be truthful with me. You can be honest with me. I'm starting to feel the warmth. Okay?
Open a window. I'm starting to get hot.
You're starting to get hot? Huh? Okay, let's see.
You don't feel it?
It's going to get worse. It's so humid outside right now. There we go. Okay. I'm trying to see if I'm feeling it.
We're not.
Okay. But yeah, so, you know, inshallah, everything works out.
Yeah.
That seems like such a dismissive too.
I know. We don't mean it in a dismissive way. We just, we genuinely,
I say
like,
that for everything, but like, it just seems like,
May Allah grant relief to the oppressed people. And
that's a better way of saying it.
Make dua. That's really, you know.
That's also a big aspect we always seem to look over. Like, making dua is also like...
Never underestimate the power of dua.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Guys, I got a new water bottle while Amir looks up his topic. I just have to show you. Not sponsored.
What is it with girls and water bottles?
I don't know, but I'm not even joking. My water intake this week... has been 10 out of 10.
It's like some placebo effect, okay?
It's not. Yes, it's just
is.
Like...
You think that now because you have a new bottle, it's going to make you more, you know, aware of your drinking habits or something like that. It's going to make you drink more. A month from now, you're going to be forgetting about it until the next Stanley Cup comes out or the next... what was that other thing that came out?
I've never been a Stanley girl, so...
Yeah, but now you're a... Whatever. What band is that? S&M. What?
Simple Modern.
Guys, always something new every month.
Or it's technically my initials if you really think about it.
No, it isn't.
It is. It's my name and my dad's name.
Oh, okay. you're pushing it there, okay? But one thing I did want to talk about, I want to get your opinion on this, because there's a few topics that happened in the past few weeks that we haven't really covered because we've just been talking more important things. Mm-hmm. But not saying, you know, this isn't important, you know, to speak about and to kind of get your opinion on. Mm-hmm. But when was the last time you watched a WNBA game?
Never.
You've never watched a WNBA game?
Never.
Have you ever been to one?
Nope.
Have you ever watched an NBA game?
Yeah, but that was...
Have you ever been to an NBA game? What's the Toronto basketball team's name?
The Raptors?
Yeah. Okay, can you name one other basketball team? In the NBA?
Yeah.
Okay, name one.
The first one that popped into my mind, I'm not a fan, but like Boston Celtics, the Lakers.
You just go through the whole list.
Trailblazers.
Right? Can you just name me one WNBA team?
Yeah.
Oh, can you?
No. I was going to try and guess and just hope
that. I'm sorry. I was getting to my red pill team. What?
Can you?
No, but there's a reason for that. Again, just not playing. But okay. Sorry. You know, I'm going down some path here. Okay. But really, what I'm talking about here is recently there was a WNBA draft, okay?
Okay.
And in college basketball in general, or recently, there's been a huge buzz around the women's basketball teams, right? And there's like, they're actually getting a lot more attention for both men and women. Well, okay, you can't look it up. That's cheating. You can't look it up on Google.
Why did they pick these names? It seems very sexist in my opinion.
Why? Okay, give me a few names here.
Okay, Indiana Fever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Washington Mystics, Atlanta Dream, Chicago Sky, Connecticut Sun. Like, why so like feminine type of...
What? You're implying that yourself.
No, that's just the vibe it's giving me. Minnesota Lynx.
But they are, it is a female league.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be like overtly feminine. It could just be a normal name.
How about if it was a woman who actually chose that name because she thought it was cute? Okay, but what I was getting at is recently there's a WNBA draft and there's a lot of buzz around it because of what happened in the women's basketball league, college league, right? Because there's a lot of buzz around it. There's a girl called Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Who's getting a lot of attention because... You know, her game was amazing. She was making crazy shots. She, like, really brought some attention to the game of, like, women's college basketball. And
when the
draft happened, everybody was like, you know, she's, you know, everybody's attention on her. Like, yo, she's going to get it. Everybody was excited to see which team she would go to. And she was actually drafted to the Indiana Fever. Well, you know, one of the first that you mentioned there. And her contract... was for a whole $338,000 for a 4-year contract.
Each year?
And
or everyone, total.
What?
Each year or total?
No, total. For 4 years.
No way.
Yeah, and that's essentially what the reaction was from a lot of women specifically. So I was going to ask you what your reaction to that is, but I got it.
I'm sure the argument is, well, the WNBA isn't as lucrative financially as the NBA is.
And I thought it was obvious. Go ahead. Keep going.
What was obvious?
I thought it was obvious that they would make less money because, you know, WNBA is kind of, it is sort of subsidized by the NBA. and like it doesn't really get that much attention. So like naturally, if something isn't getting that much attention, it's gonna make less money. And if it makes less money, your players aren't gonna be making as much money. Is that not like the reality situation?
From a basic economic standpoint, if yes.
But like the thing is that people are comparing it to the NBA though.
Yeah, I know, because they think it's equal. I get it. And mm-hmm. it's not equal because of the, like, I get that part.
Yeah.
They don't have enough funding, probably. I don't know.
Well, they
like, thing what, is, the, what channel does their games even get aired on?
Probably on Sportsnet as well.
Yeah, I've never mm-hmm. seen it.
Yeah, because it doesn't get as much attention.
Well, then they need
but
to change that.
Do you
that.
Think it's like a chicken and the egg situation? Like, it's the fact that they're not being put up in front of everyone, yeah. that they're not getting the attention?
Yeah.
Do you think that's really a situation?
Yeah, I think had the WNBA mm-hmm. been as heavily broadcasted, if celebrities gave it as much attention as they did to the NBA, honestly, all it really takes, and I hate to say this, but mm-hmm. all it takes is one of the WNBA players to just get into a relationship with an NBA player and bam. That would
I don't think work. I don't think it's only that.
I think that
I
would
think work. It's also like there are other aspects like the excitement of the game.
Because, but it's the same thing. It's just different people playing.
Well, not
playing.
Exactly, because when it comes to the NBA, you're dealing with like it's faster paced. I believe the ball is actually sorry, not the ball. The rules are a little bit different.
Oh, are they?
Huh? I believe so. I can't remember exactly. Oh. Like there's something that's different about it. Maybe it's the ball size. Well, naturally that's going to make a difference, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also the fact that like a lot of WNBA players can't really dunk, and
why
some
not?
People what?
Why not?
Because they're not as tall and like.
So when they just also, lower the nets.
What?
When they just lower the nets.
It's not. People are actually saying that you could make the WNBA more exciting if they lowered the nets.
Are they? They're keeping the nets to the same level as NBA. Yeah. Okay, unless the women are like 7 feet tall, that's so unfair.
But I guess that could be an argument made onto how they could bring more attention to it by bringing yeah. down the nets.
Yeah.
But then that changes everything. And like how? Because all the players who have been playing basketball for multiple years at this point are used to that net. It changes your shot trajectory. It changes like the habits that you've built up over the years, right? Even your simple layup, your how much you power put into it. These are things they've practiced thousands and thousands of times. Having to change that on the fly is going to affect how everybody plays, and there's going to be a few like years of growing pains to even get used to that. Like that's a huge aspect of the game to change.
I don't know. I don't think lowering it will like, yeah, you have to adjust your shots and your technique, but I don't think it would throw them off. If anything, it would make it easier for them to actually like be able to reach the rim and dunk.
No, you're thinking only in the aspect of dunking, but I'm thinking about like people taking shots, free throws, three pointers, like I mentioned, layups, all those things. Like all of that changes. Because like it's almost like any task you do, like say you're doing a task a million times where you're literally just like moving something from here to here, and to the point where you can literally close your eyes and still do the task. And then let's say someone moves it,
yeah,
30 centimeters to the right,
mm-hmm.
like. You have to basically start from the beginning again.
I
it may seem
mean.
Like very simple thing,
yeah.
but you're essentially starting from the beginning. It's a whole different movement, essentially.
I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. I do. I understand. I just...
But I think just the reaction... I don't know why people thought that it would be like out of nowhere, these girls would be getting multi-million dollar contracts. But what could be, people should be excited in that, like, because she brought so much attention to the game, now there might actually be an argument to be made in the future to pay these players more because there's more attention to the game. Like, we'll see if in the next season, as in the upcoming season, if more people start showing up to the games, WNBA games. I believe they're starting to air them more on, like, more of the games on the sport channels. So yeah. if they start to see that, because at the end of the day, money is what everybody is focused on, right? Or like that's what their incentive is.
Right.
So if they see that there's money to be made here and that there is attention, they're going to capitalize on that, of course. They're not going to continue to not give it as much attention just for their own, like, I don't know, misogynistic tendencies.
Well, hopefully with that attention also comes more sponsorships too, because more sponsorships means more money, right?
And one thing to actually speak about in, when it comes to sponsorships is that, like, sure, she's making $338,000 a year or over 4 years, but that's not accounting for all the sponsorships she's going to be getting and all the other deals she's going to be getting. Because, and also in the off season, what a lot of female basketball players do is they actually go overseas and they actually make more money doing that.
That's how much she makes a year. I make more than her.
Well, show it to she Sada just did the math and she makes technically 84K a year from that. And that's not accounting for taxes. Because, like, with taxes, like, almost 50% of that is gone.
No, that's criminal. Okay, no. Now I'm outraged. That's criminal.
Well, that has actually been a big topic because a lot of WNBA players, they end up having to get, like, second jobs. Sometimes they're working, like, part-time jobs to be able to pay for.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. No. Okay, then the outrage is well-deserved.
Is it, though?
Yes.
But if there's no money to be made in it.
The WNBA has some money. Like, there's no way they have nothing.
Whose responsibility is it to get them onto those bigger stages? Is it the people who have the keys or the people who are running those platforms like ESPN or TSN or whatever?
No, those are just networks.
Exactly.
It's the NBA, the corporation, or the WNBA, which is a subsidy of
NBA. So it is getting subsidized by the NBA. And so are you saying that it's the NBA's responsibility to be able to, like...
Yeah, collectively, the both of them.
And I believe they are trying to push it up, but I think it's just the attention is not there. Because also... It's that whole, like, stereotype of how, like, you know, men are usually the ones who are watching games and, like, women are kind of actually, a lot of times, women actually prefer not to have a guy who's into sports because they know how men are when it comes to sports.
So, but just because it's the WNBA doesn't mean that only women have to go and watch. Like, men can go and watch,
Well, yeah, that's
too.
The thing, right? How do you get the man's attention? They already have the NBA that they're watching, but... You have to also realize that 50% of the population is women.
Yeah.
So shouldn't the women be coming out to support their own?
You always do that.
What?
You're like, something about like supporting women. I feel like you've made comments on this before.
Yeah, women should be supporting women.
They should, but everyone should be supporting women. Everyone should be supporting women. It shouldn't just be the onus. Mm-hmm. Like, women already do support women. It's the men that make it
you can't say that for sure, because then the WNBA would just be as popular as the NBA.
Exactly.
But it's not, because women are not supporting women.
I don't think it's that.
What is it then?
It's because men make life unfair.
What?
Yeah.
Are you saying it all comes down to misogyny and in the patriarchy? I'm gonna give you a olive branch here. I do believe that the patriarchy does play a part in
it. Of course it does.
But I don't believe there's been any like real drive from women specifically to combat this.
So you're saying it's on the women to support the WNBA to get it to be basically part of a bigger platform. And unless women start to show up, it's just not going to happen. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Well, to a degree, right? Because it's women, and also like they need to find a way to like drive men, because it is only 50%, right? 50% is big, but it does require them to kind of find a way to incentivize the men to come through and start watching the games.
I mean, if you're a true, I think what might be missing is like that, because a lot of guys watch basketball because they're fans of specific players and their technique, right? And through being a fan, you kind of, they get personified because, you know, whether they follow them on social media or, you know, they're in ads and like they're just around where you also humanize them too. So you're just overall a fan. And so you're more likely to watch the game. With the WNBA, like the players aren't as well known. And maybe it's just a different marketing strategy.
It's definitely going to require a whole different strategy.
Yeah.
But I feel like the people who are going to have to drive and like take lead on that strategy are women, because women will know women the most and how to market women the best. If you leave it up to a bunch of white men in a boardroom, like they're going to start putting them in skimpier outfits. And like, I'm not lying. Like, this is literally,
that's crazy.
Like, there was actually a league back in the day called, I think it was like the XFL or something like that. It's like a women's football league, and their way of getting more attention to it is by like literally having the women wearing like bra and panties with like football gear on.
What?
Yeah, but that's what happens when you put guys in charge of finding a way to market this, right?
WNBA. So
it will require women to actually figure out ways to properly market this. But they've been given a huge layup with Caitlin Clark and this other girl. I'm forgetting her name right now. I should have written it down. Maybe. I think her name was like Ashley something. But they brought a lot of attention to the game. And it's the WNBA's bag to fumble right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they have a short amount of time to like basically capitalize.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of hype. Mm. There's a lot of attention. So they need to learn how to capitalize on this and get the snowball rolling and like build this up into something that can almost compete and rival the NBA.
WNBA, if you're looking for some people to join your marketing team.
I'm just saying, man.
Holla at us. I'm just saying. We have some great ideas. We can help you guys.
I don't know about ideas. We were just talking about this.
Be confident in your ideas. Okay? I have ideas.
Exactly. Like I said.
But I don't want to say them on the podcast. It requires women
to drive this.
I don't want to say it on the podcast because someone might steal it and then take it as their own. So I'm going to keep it in this noggin of mine. And if you want to hear my ideas, hire me.
Yeah. And actually, one thing I was going to mention also that may play a part in why it's hard to find spokespersons for the game, or like these people who like people can follow and like idolize, essentially, like your LeBron James or your Steph Curry of the game, because Caitlin Clark has been compared to like the Steph Curry of the WNBA basically.
Wow.
Because of her shot. Mm-hmm. And I think one aspect about women that kind of changes that is that like the length that a lot of WNBA players are in the league for is a little bit shorter than a lot of men in the league.
Really?
Mainly because, like, you know, someone might be in the league for a couple of years and then they're like, I want to start a family. And for a man, you know, if we're talking about like patriarchy and stuff, like they can just, you know, they have the money. Now they can just get their wife gets pregnant. They don't get pregnant. They continue playing the league. They have a nanny. Everyone can take care of all that stuff. They don't have to worry about that. But if you're a woman yourself who's getting pregnant, then
you're out of commission for nine months.
Out of commission. And then,
yeah,
like, everyone knows a woman's body after giving birth, like, there are so many complications. There are so many things that can happen with that. Like, bouncing back to who you were before that, even if maybe you don't even want to be, go back to who you were before. Like, there are so many aspects that we're not thinking about that we're not taking into account as well when it comes to that.
They can bounce back. It takes time because you have to let your body heal.
Exactly.
So you can't just give birth one day and then tomorrow you're like, all right, back in the court.
Exactly.
You got to pace yourself and take your time. So like, you know, you're probably going to be out of commission for maybe a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can see how that hinders their experience in that career. But that's for every career that women are in.
Yeah, true.
Like exactly. Literally,
so it's a common issue. Or not common issue, but common obstacle that a lot of women have to deal with.
Yeah, I was actually talking to
gaining a career in any aspect or any.
I was talking to my coworker about this. I was I'm the perfect candidate right now for the corporate world because I'm single and I don't have kids. So, like, they're like, "All right, great. She doesn't have kids anytime soon, so we can, you know, whatever you want to do." And so I was just saying, like, how do people get ahead when they have a family? Especially when you have to devote so much of your time to work. And then there's the whole conversation of work-life balance that Amir and I always talk about. And it's just, this life is not for us.
Exactly. One thing that does help the NBA, this is going to be really controversial, is like a majority of the players are, you know, playing for the other side. So, or, you know, playing for the same team, I mean, if you know what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
Took me a second.
In other news, so I brought this name up a couple of times. You know my man MKBHD, right?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, he's a popular YouTuber, technology reviewer, and recently he's been in some heat.
Really? I love him.
I know, right? And it's It's completely unwarranted. Oh, well, okay. For the most part, right?
Okay.
So, he reviewed an item called the Humane AI. Humane AI. Where essentially it's like a pin that you like put up on your chest. And it is kind of like an AI assistant. You like talk to it and you ask it questions, or you ask it to do tasks for you and it does it for you, Googles it, whatever. But it's just a pin. It doesn't really have a screen. It does have a projector on it. So when you put your hand out, it actually projects certain things on your hand. That's sounds cool, right? But it didn't work. It sucked. It literally, there are so many things wrong with it. Sometimes it would actually get hot. And because you have it, it's on your chest and it's just being held with a magnet, it would literally start heating up your chest.
Oh my God.
And the battery life was horrible. And there are just so many things wrong with it. And it was not ready to be put out on shelves or anything. And they're asking customers for $700 for this thing that wasn't even fully
and people were buying
ready. Well, no, that's they gave it out to him for review, right? It was a new product. And he got a lot of backlash for that because he literally said, don't buy this. This product is horrible. And he got a lot of backlash from the people who made it, but also from just people in general who are like, hey, you're about to tank this company. Because, of course, it's their first product. If he gives a bad review, he's a big YouTuber, it could tank the company. And people were saying you should be more responsible with how you give reviews. Because
he's being honest.
Exactly, right? And he actually posed the question. He made a video follow-up. He's like, do reviews kill companies or do bad products kill companies, right? And I think the obvious answer is that it's a bad product that kills the company, because it would be one thing if he only had a bad review and everyone else had a positive review. Then you could make a claim or a case for how he's being unfair, or he may have
a bias.
Yeah, he may have a bias or some sort. But if everyone else is speaking the same tune, coming out with negative views on these things, then you're just trying to sell a bad product.
I think
so.
Maybe
he's saving these people from that.
Well, I think maybe what they were looking for from him was, he can say his criticisms of the pin and then maybe put in his suggestions. But then that goes into consulting. Maybe they should pay him for that. And maybe they did pay him to review it.
No. He doesn't get paid for any reviews.
Okay. So then, if I were him and I knew that I had a lot of pull and I have huge influence, I would, once I reviewed it on my own time and then I was filming, I would probably contact the company to be like, look, I don't think this is ready for it to be launched. I can give you some suggestions as a consumer, but pay me first. And then I'll put out the video.
No, then they can just come out and say, he tried to extort us.
How is that extorting that?
Because they could they could twist that and say, even though it's not true, they can still twist it and say, he said that I'll put out the review, a negative review, if you don't pay me for my suggestions.
Then he can put out a negative review and give a couple of suggestions. But
yeah,
then
of course, he in most of his reviews, he'll give suggestions for what would make it better.
Yeah.
But ultimately, a review is a review. It's up to the company to come out with a good product or not.
That's right? True. I agree.
Especially when you're asking $700 for something, if it's not ready, sure, your pocketbooks might look bad, but how about if someone was saving, they had only $700 saved from the past few months. They're like, what can I spend this on? And they saw this come out and people were giving false positive reviews. They buy this product and now they're down $700 and it's something that doesn't work.
But that happens all the time with makeup too, where there will be a new release, either it's an influencer brand or a celebrity brand or whatever, but there will be a new release of foundation, for example, and people buy it and it's horrible. It separates on your skin. It doesn't make your skin look nice. And maybe part of their marketing scheme was to push it out to influencers to review. They all give it a negative review and then it's back to the drawing board. Okay, how do we make this formula better for people, for the consumers?
Well,
to
that's what's
enjoy.
Supposed to happen, right?
Yeah, so then why are they getting mad at him?
Because that's the whole thing. They're saying, oh, you have so much pull and you have so much influence that your views now have the ability to tank companies. And I think this is also compounded by the fact that he made another review, because he's been recently reviewing, he's always been reviewing cars, but recently he made a whole channel dedicated to it. And he reviewed a car called the Fisker, which was a fully electric car. And same thing, he drove his car and he's like, this car is not ready. The interface doesn't work properly. The whole car is just horrible. He gave his notes on what was bad about it. And he got a lot of backlash for that, because that company ended up, I think, filing for bankruptcy not long after that. But the thing is, if you look at they're on the stock market, if you look at their trajectory of their stock, it was already on a downhill drop or downhill climb, whatever you call it.
Downhill trend? Or
yeah, downtrend, basically. So how much can you really say his... Yeah, it was on a decline. I don't know how I forgot that word. But like, how much can you really say that like his review played a part in that? Sure, it might have played some part in it, but rightfully so, because if you have a bad product, you're going to get a bad review, and then it's like up to you to how you come back from that. And the way they reacted to it was horrible, because I think he wasn't given the car directly by them. He like borrowed the car from someone who owned the car, right? And they came out in the worst way possible, saying like, who is this guy? We don't even know him. You know, what does he have? What does he have any right to like say that our car is bad? Like, what's his credentials? All those things. And funny, like crazy enough, like some people who saw the review and people in the comments were kind of like saying those same things. I mean, like, who are you? Don't know anything about cars. Why? What right do you have? And it's like, yeah, but he's a regular consumer. If anyone, if you want anyone to review a car, it's going to be your regular consumer, the person who isn't a car guy.
Right.
Because you're going to be using it like any other person would use it.
Right.
Right. And this is an electric car. It's not like some like super sports car or something very fancy. Like, this is something that an everyday person might buy.
Yeah.
So you'd want an everyday person to review it. Exactly. And he's not saying that he is an everyday person, but like, why would you want someone who might have some bias, especially a car guy? Because essentially they're implying that like, if a car guy reviewed it, there would be some bias there, and they might be give some caveats that a normal person wouldn't, or some like they'll be more forgiving on certain things that a normal person wouldn't be. And
yeah,
I would want someone to be more honest with me, because you're gonna be spending, especially for a vehicle, you're gonna be spending, forget $700, you're gonna be spending tens of thousands of dollars on this vehicle, especially something that's new. And like, when it comes to electric vehicles specifically, it's already a risk in certain cases, right?
Yeah.
So you want as honest review as possible. So that was compound on the fact that, like, I mean, that was also playing a part into the reaction that he got from this.
That makes no sense. Like, I'm just thinking about it, and I was relating it to like makeup reviews, where in the past, like back in the day on YouTube, it was a lot of like pro makeup artists where they've mastered the technique and they could probably make mud look nice on your face. And so then with the rise of TikTok and like through COVID, there was a rise in like just everyday people doing makeup tutorials. And that's when influencers that were not pro makeup artists became really big, because now you're seeing an everyday consumer using products the same way that probably you would, using the same sort of tools that you probably do. And so that's why people started to trust them more, because they're like, well, I look like that person. So, you know, I'm not a pro makeup artist, but I can kind of do this. So I get that. You're right. I think it's more authentic to have, like, yes, if you're looking for certain specs and you're like an avid car lover, or you're really into makeup, you're going to want to listen to the professionals that have credentials for sure. But if you're looking for just like an everyday use, and you're like, is this a good product for me and my lifestyle? You're more likely, and you're more inclined to look for the amateur person that's reviewing it, the everyday person that's going to use it in their everyday life.
Exactly. So that whole argument just didn't make sense. So, and I was surprised, but like, even to this day, there are people who are leaving those kind of negative comments.
So crazy.
But
people always will find a reason to hate.
But the thing is that like, he's trying to save you from wasting your money. That's these, I don't know how those people don't realize that. Like, these are regular people putting comments in there, unless like they're bots. Because, you know, these days you can't really trust anything, because people could be making bots just so they can maybe make it seem more positive and get more attention onto something by saying, oh, yeah, I have this product and it was actually amazing. Don't listen to them, blah, blah, blah. There are people who will do that. People can pay for that these days. So that whole reaction just seemed completely unwarranted. And, yeah, he posed that question, like I said, about, like, do reviews tank companies? And maybe they do, but is that the reviewer's responsibility or the company's, right?
Right.
Just make a good product, essentially.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And kind of in the AI realm in general, there's another thing. I literally saw this recently. But it's more about how AI, you know how people are saying like AI is going to take our jobs? I saw a review recently that's actually local to Toronto, where there was a girl at Muji. Do you know Muji?
I know exactly you know what you're talking about, right? I kind of want to go.
You saw that too, right?
Yeah.
But she's like, okay, so to set it up, see, she went to Muji and she heard that Muji had a cafe, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, that's pretty sick. You know, Muji has a cafe. I'm going to go and check it out, right? So she walks in and she doesn't see anyone there. She's like, okay, there's nobody here. I guess they must be closed or whatever, right? But then she walks up to the actual counter and she sees a little screen and she sees like a little robot in the middle. And she realized that the barista was not a person, but an actual robot. And she like paid for her drink. And the robot, you know, it looked almost like a person doing it. Like it set up the drink. It was like pouring it in and actually made a design. Like you was, when you get your little latte or whatever, it made that whole design on it. And it made up the drink, made the drink for her. And she's like, yeah, it tasted good or whatever. Like, but it's the fact
crazy?
That what?
The fact that the robot was doing small talk with her.
Was it actually? I don't know that part.
Yeah. It was like, how's your day today?
No way.
You didn't hear it?
I didn't
like,
see that part.
Yeah, no. I saw that. And then the comments were like, the fact that this robot is like trying to make small talk with you is really funny.
Mm-hmm. That's just, and this is just the start. That, like I mentioned every time, or like I say every time when we bring up AI, like this is the worst it's going to be. It's only going to get better from this.
You've seen like the self-driving taxis or Ubers, right?
Yeah, I've seen a lot more videos of that too.
Where the police are trying to pull them over, but they're like, we can't, there's nobody.
Yeah, I think the self-driving car thing still is going to take some time.
Yeah.
But for things like this, when it comes to a simple task that can be repeated constantly, then that's when you're like, okay, this is an actually somewhere where they will might actually be able to take our jobs. But what I do see happening in this case specifically is like it's the novelty of it right now, but people might actually want that human interaction.
Yeah,
at the end of the day. It's almost like how people at one point started going back to like listening to physical media, like what do they call those, the little big discs, the records.
Yes.
Yeah, like now actually
vinyls.
So it's surprisingly enough for the vinyls, like I think it's like Taylor Swift, she's actually selling like more vinyls than they used to sell like back in the day. Like she's selling millions of vinyls, but that's also crazy. Because they like made it almost like a collector's item, like there are different colors that you can get in certain places, and there's like certain colors that are only, or like when I say colors I mean the actual covers that are like limited edition, so you have to kind of like give some type of incentive to it.
Yeah,
but people are moving, they are almost kind of like nostalgic for something that's not even part of their nostalgia, if that makes sense. Because I'm sure a lot of Taylor Swift fans aren't even old enough to know, like, or were old enough or to be alive at a time when vinyls were used by everyone.
Yeah, that's true.
But
have you ever listened to something on vinyl before?
Yeah, we used to have a vinyl player.
So did we. We still have one.
Yeah.
I sometimes like play around with it. It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know where ours is.
My dad's a hoarder, so it's still in our house. Honestly, I should bring it over.
Somewhere. Yeah.
And like it's kind of broken. We can probably fix it. And
I could probably fix it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to bring it over. But yeah, you're right. My coworker's daughter is a Taylor Swift fan. She's like 7 or something. And she bought her the vinyl for it.
See? And does she even have a vinyl player?
I think so. Maybe.
Maybe. Well, yeah, I guess you could just... That's the thing. Probably vinyl players are now like selling on Amazon.
Yeah, I wouldn't be
surprised. More than ever, exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But all artists are doing that, right? A lot of them are putting out physical media again because people are just nostalgic for a time that they may not have been even alive for.
Yeah.
But just something about just having physical media that people are drawn towards.
But there's like a...
And this is a similar thing when it comes to baristas. Like people might want that like aesthetic... Yeah. Barista feel. I don't know what it is.
It's the authentic like coffee shop vibes though.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like the aesthetics of it, right? They have the barista there, you know, sometimes it's a guy with some odd tattoos on his arm wearing a what do you call that thing, an apron.
Yeah,
you know, has a roll of that. it just a look, you know.
I know exactly.
Or
what
the girl with the tattoos.
it does make or break your experience too, but I think if you are a huge fan of technology, I think seeing that and witnessing that is probably also really cool. There's a balance, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like, for me, I was interested in actually going and checking that. First off, I just found out about Muji, like, in the middle of winter. Like, I found out about what Muji was.
Oh.
I thought Muji was, like, a cafe.
No.
You know, ironically enough with this thing. But, like, I didn't know that they sold, like, small items.
Yeah.
And I was like, because when I first went to Muji or found out about it, I was in New York at the time. Mm. So I didn't want to buy a bunch of things. So I was like looking. I was like, yo, I can get all these things for this much. Like, mm-hmm. It's hella cheap for things that are like crazy useful.
Yeah.
So I was about to pick up a bunch of things, but I didn't want to travel back with it. You know, a small carry-on, whatever.
I know.
And then I went to one like locally, but it was a smaller one. I didn't realize there are different sizes. So there's some that have more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now it just makes me want to go and check it out more.
Have you been to the one at, I think there's one in Scarborough Town Center, or did they close that?
No, I've only been to one in Square One, and that one was actually smaller and didn't have as much.
Go to Scarborough Town Center.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. But that was also a cool thing that I saw that too. And it's, you know, it's another aspect of AI that took our jobs. But yeah, so again, you know, we talked about a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to keep the beginning there again.
Please,
we'll see.
Amir.
Okay. But it's going to sound so bad. I'm sorry,
guys.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's going to be the authentic, like, you know, YouTube sit-down videos where you don't have an actual mic.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I just want you guys to hear it because it was a really good conversation. I don't want you to miss out.
If it sounds well. We'll see. Because I currently have something covering the mic at the moment. So if it sounds right, then I'll keep it. But if not...
Okay, fine.
You know, we're out of luck. I'm sorry. Okay. But until then... Thank you guys for listening or watching this podcast.
Yeah.
Remember to subscribe to the channel. We forgot to say at the beginning. Subscribe to the channel. Follow us on all our social medias at Cousin Connection Pod. That's TikTok, Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the next time you guys see us, we'll be in Australia.
Definitely in Australia.
Yeah. No, but maybe next time they see us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to do it, you know, the whole logistics of it. But
yeah,
inshallah, we'll figure out something. But until then, we'll see y'all next time.
Bye. Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.